Hello and welcome to Breaking the Cycle Two Step Forward. This is episode 30, and today we will be speaking about life and self-worth. I'm Beverly Ann, and I am with.
Chris Tuck from the Maldives, guys. Hi.
And I was, as I said, with, I was thinking, I wish. Because
Wish.
anyone watching this will see on the video that Chris's backdrop is actually the sea, and it actually is the sea. And we were a little bit worried when we were testing that you would only hear the ocean, but you actually don't hear any of it, but it's so lovely to see. So I'm just giving that imagination and background for anyone listening on the podcast. So I'm not actually with Chris, sadly, but I am in spirit. So, Chris, we were talking about self-worth and life and what that actually means. And I think it's, as we were discussing beforehand, it's really good to start with that feeling of self-worth and how intrinsic that is with the life that we really want to create and actually sometimes what stops us.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Many survivors that I know of don't feel that they're worthy of anything. So they don't often plan ahead. They don't often look forward to a year, 5 years, 10 years, because they can't see no further than the day that they're in, because of their low self-esteem, because of their low self-worth. And I don't know about you, Bev, you can talk about yourself in a moment, but I've had episodes of where I felt that I wasn't good enough. I wouldn't be able to have that. I wouldn't be able to do that, for whatever reason. But I think it's the trauma response to the abuse that you've gone through. And it all depends what type of abuse that you've gone through. So for me, the mental abuse that I suffered as a child and teenager, where you got told you're not worthy, you're not going to amount to anything, no one's going to love you, no one cares about you. That really, for some people from loving, nurturing, caring environments, it's just words to them. But when you are living in an environment where the actions that you are open to are the same as the words that are being delivered to you, i.e., you're being hit as well as told you're not worthy, it really resonates with you on a really deep level. And that does impact the way that you look at life and the way that you live your life.
Absolutely. And if we take that apart for a little while, is they say that, words will never hurt you. But as you've described, they can, and they do have an impact. And as human beings, we're naturally looking for the evidence to support something. So if somebody says, you're not worthy, you're horrible, you're bad, and then their actions back that up, so they're not giving you love, or they've withdrawn it,
Yeah.
they're neglecting you, they're not feeding you, or they're abusing you, then there's the evidence that must support it. And it may not even be just the person that's abusing you, it's the messages that we take from around us. And we've spoken about this in different ways, but it's always good to look at this from different angles because we see things from different angles. So when those messages are reinforced, they then become our beliefs about ourselves, and they're embedded so deep, they're in our subconscious, so they're way below the surface. So even as we grow up and we're like, no, I am worthy, I am, and I'm thinking all these positive thoughts, there becomes an internal struggle because that's our conscious thinking, I am worthy. But deep down, our unconscious beliefs, if they're not looked at, are fighting with our conscious. And that's the hardest part to rewire, our neurological thinking in our brain. And it is neurological. We say mental, but it's a neurological pathway. And it doesn't matter how far you are in your journey, and I don't want to disappoint anyone here. We're going to be realistic, and we always are, that there are times, no matter where you are in your journey, that you go back to that messaging because that's, a time when things become challenging. That's something that you've learned as a child. But I would say the only difference is we do learn. So I know that if I'm feeling really, really ill, and I have recently, there have been times when those old messages come back and you feel them. But for me, when I start to feel them, I dive into them. It's like, okay, what is it that you're feeling? What is it that you think you know, you're not worthy? Okay, where's that coming from? Is this true?
Yeah,
and what
absolutely.
Can I do to show myself that I am worthy?
Yeah, I had a bit of a self-confidence wobble at the end of the year after I left that last job. I thought to myself that, you know, I don't know why. I've got no skills. What am I going to do? I don't want to go back to accountancy. I want to public speak. How am I going to do that? No one's going to want to take me on to do that. And I really felt like I'm at a crossroads. And that was one of the reasons why I chose to come here to rethink things. But that is why I look back over my camera roll. I looked at all of the things that I had done over the last few years, you know, all the different public speaking, all of the work that I've done with you and other people, other survivors, all the different people that I've worked with professionally. And I put a reel together and I thought, my God, you've actually done a lot. You've actually done a lot of good. You've actually And so I challenged my own negative belief system and I had proof in pictures and videos of what I've actually achieved. And I would encourage anybody to do that. And it doesn't matter what it is, just look back over your life and write down maybe what it is, where you are now, and where you were back a year ago, and what is it you've achieved in that 12 months maybe, or you can cut it down to 3 months, whatever time span you prefer to do, and just challenge those negative thought processes and show the reality of the situation. Now, of course, it might have gone the other way. You might have been in a really good place, achieving, being who you are, doing what you wanted to do. And you might have found yourself now in a place that's not so good for you. But you know where you are now is not great, but where you was good. So you can work towards that again. So wherever you are and whatever you do, the way that you look at this, there's always a positive to do that.
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying is so important, and we don't do it. Taking that time to reflect back on the last year and think about all the things that we have achieved. And in saying that, life happens. So, and I'm not saying that, you know, in a way, oh, life happens, it's not important. It is important because we all have major things that can happen in a year and do, you know, emotionally, physically. And some of them are really challenging. And I know that I can look back on my last year and I can say some wonderful things that have happened. And it's really heartwarming. And I have been doing that anyway, because it's something I enjoy doing and it's part of the self-care. But it's also being able to acknowledge, wow, that was a real challenge when you made a decision, a really tough decision this year. And they were the consequences that happened from it. However, as challenging as it was, and I do acknowledge how challenging it was, it also gives me the opportunity to look at the strengths that I had and looking at what was clear about my boundaries. And that is really important, because when we've done that, when we're able to acknowledge what we have done, and also, and we've spoken about this before as well, let go of the things that we couldn't control. And we say let go because I would say the word forgive myself for some of the things, you know, that I know, and that's why we're saying this, because for anyone listening for the first time, forgive is a word that Chris doesn't like and many others wouldn't, and I didn't used to. But so we choose the word letting go. But we can be very judgmental of ourselves. So it's important when we're looking back at what we've achieved and when we're acknowledging some of the challenges, for us to be able to accept as well that we're human beings.
Yeah, not robots, so.
Yeah, because we're always wanting. So, yeah, doing that, looking back is amazing. So you've done a reel, which I think is amazing. And God, that makes me want to do it. But that's where you're.
Good.
I'm not saying I will do that. I'll do the piece of paper and the pen, because doing the reel is great, but it just too much technology there.
Yeah.
So if somebody else wants to do it for me, thank you very much. I'll put it out to the universe. But what's really great about doing something like that is it really lifts you to a place. And when I say really lifts, we all have different levels. But it really helps us to really tap into, okay, yes, I did that. And now for some people, it could be that they were bedbound and they managed to get out into their garden, or they managed to go downstairs and sit downstairs sometimes. Celebrate those wins. Like you were saying, you were coming to the end of a job, a role. And it's really scary sometimes because it's what we know.
Yeah.
And then when we're suddenly in a place like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean to say it's going to be bad. But
no.
When we were growing up, what we learned was when we don't know what's going to happen, it was dangerous. So when we're able to acknowledge that and see that mirror, that's when we can challenge again. Okay. Is it dangerous, or what is it I would actually like to bring into my life this year?
Yeah.
In the next year.
And I think, you know, having this period of self-reflection and the reality of the situation, you can then work out what is it you don't want in your life, because I think that's often easier than dreaming or working out what you do want. Work out what you definitely don't want. And then that opens you up to, well, actually, if I don't want that, what's the opposite of that? This is what I do want. So you can do that for your financials. You can do that for your relationships. You can do that for your work. You can do that for every aspect of your life, your health, your wellness, whatever it happens to be. What I don't want. And then this is what I do want, because I know what I don't want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because that's the hardest part. And I know that, you know, I had to learn this years ago when somebody would say, well, what do you want in your life in a year's time, 5 years, 10 years? I think, yeah. I'm thinking about week to week. A month
we're talking about surviving, aren't we? That's what we've done. We've survived.
Survived.
We've not thrived.
Yeah. And it's
and now
only...
we have the opportunity to do that. Sorry, Bev, I keep butting
That's okay.
In. Because we've got the opportunity to thrive, that's often a scary thing as well.
Well, it's the unknown, as we said yeah. just a little while ago. So how I've always done it in the past and how I've learned to do it, there's two different ways. First thing, so if anyone's got a pencil and a piece of paper right next to you, the first thing I would say to anybody is wherever you are, and like Chris, you're in the Maldives, this is a great place for you to do it. Is to write down the numbers 1 to 10 in a line. And then, without thinking about restrictions of time, without thinking about money, without thinking about any restrictions whatsoever, this is real dreaming, it's 10 things that you'd like to bring into your life. Now, that's not all small and not all big, but it's got to be a mixture. So, for instance, when I first did this, when my marriage ended years ago, I was sitting on a beach and I did it. The first thing I wanted to do was to go to the theatre more. I wanted to walk most days. And I said most days, because then that way it wasn't putting pressure on me. I wanted to be able to laugh with friends. I wanted to travel. I wanted to go to America. So can you see how all these different things? At the time, when I said I wanted to go to America, I had no idea how I was going to get there or if I ever would, but it was just something that was in me. So they're the kind of things I'm saying. You don't choose the same things. What is it you want to do? Once you've got that, what's another great way of doing it is writing a letter to yourself or imagining yourself having a conversation with someone in a year's time and talking about the things that you want to bring into your life.
You said to me earlier as well that pretend you are end of 2023, for example, and then you look back on your life, what is it that you wish you had have done?
Yes.
And that's another way of you bringing to life, bringing to reality something, say like we was, I don't know, in the middle of June, for example, but we pretend we're at the end of 2023 and you're in the middle of June and you're like, actually, I would have liked to have done that, whatever that is. I would have liked to have done that. I would have liked to have done that. Then you've still got 6 months to make it happen. So constantly check in with yourself throughout the year, pretend it's the end of the year and go, right, I'm here now, September. Where is it that I said I wanted to be? Can I still make that happen? I've still got 3 months. Can I make that happen? And then you're just checking in with yourself and see if you can, can't. You're going to shift it to the new year, or are you going to make it happen this year? Or is it something that it's just not going to happen and you're just going to get rid of? So constantly just reflecting and checking in and making these plans that are fluid so that you don't get caught up in the, I haven't achieved, I'm a failure, I'm not worthy. We don't want any of that, do we?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what used to scare me, if I'm really honest. And I bet some people listening will go, yes, is I would always be frightened of setting these goals, achievements, what life I wanted, because if I didn't achieve it, that would make me feel worse than when beforehand. And it was only when I started to realize, hold on a minute, you're setting these timelines for yourself, but they're fluid. And actually, there's that thing about being self-critical and being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So for instance, about studying, you know, I'm about to start studying something and I'm really, really proud that I've got it all set up now, but I'm going to start studying psychology in a degree. But when I first thought about that, straight away, all the fears came in. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. This is going to be too big. It's too expensive. It's going to take too long. And it was only after having a conversation and breaking it down. Hold on. It doesn't matter how long it takes. At least get started. Mm-hmm. So where can you take this degree? Can you get finance? If you can get finance, how do you do it? I don't know all the answers. Who can I ask? So even starting by asking the questions is starting it.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean to say that just because you look at the options and then you think, oh, actually, that's not right for me. No. Good. You've explored it. Well done.
Exactly. No regrets, eh?
Absolutely. No regrets at all. But the only biggest regret is when it's something you've wanted to do and you've actually not even explored it.
That's a bit the same as me being here. I never thought I would ever come to a far-flung place like this on my own. I just didn't think it was feasible. I didn't think it was possible. But I think it comes to a time in your life where you're at a crossroads. And I know many survivors that I'm in contact with at the moment are at crossroads. They may be leaving a job. They may be leaving a relationship. Whatever the situation is, it's a crossroads. So it's like a bit like what you've just said is, what is it you actually need? So feelings, get into your thoughts and your feelings. What is it you really, really need? And then putting it out there. You know, I put it out there that I just needed a complete rest. I needed to get me, and I don't even know what me looks like anymore, because all I've ever done, like yourself, Bev, is give. Might not always get things right, but all I've done is give, and I need to give back to myself. So it was just a little grain of thought in my head. Well, I've always wanted to go. I love the sea. I love the heat, and I love like being in the sunshine. It just makes me feel good. And I only completely relax properly when I've got that heat on me. It's really weird. I can't explain it, but it's just, I can just feel like really light. I can just let go. I can breathe. Now, before I left the UK, I kept getting a tight throat. I felt like I couldn't. I kept going like, felt like I had a stranglehold on me. That's how bad the anxiety and the stress was getting. And as soon as I got on that plane, knowing that I was coming here, that just all sort of like just left my body. It's really weird how strong your subconscious and what you're feeling has a hold on you mentally and physically. So for me, I recognized that I needed a complete break, and I spoke to it with my loved ones, spoke about it with my loved ones, and they were keen to come with me. And I said, well, I really don't want to disappoint you or make you angry, but I really need to go alone. And even as I said to you today, I do feel lonely at some points during the day, but I do need to just be by myself and do what I need to do. And I just want everyone to reflect about what it is they need and can they make it happen. And I'm not saying come to the Maldives. I was lucky enough to use my criminal injuries compensation to make this happen. But I just felt like if I didn't give myself this right now, that I was going on a downward spiral, and we all know what that feels like, and we don't want to really go back there. So I needed to do an intervention, and this was my intervention. So yeah, it is beautiful, it is lovely. Is it going to sort all my issues out? No, but it's going to give me that time to really download, decompress and recuperate. So there was one time that my self-worth would never allow me to do this. And there was also a time where when I was looking at what I needed to do a year on, 5 years on, it was always about work. It was always about earning money. It was always about getting the next best thing for me and my family. So it was a constant work, 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 work. Whereas now, reaching the age of 50, it's more about health, wellness, well-being and stress management for me, because it just has to be like that. And I'm thankful that I've found that out now.
Absolutely. And I'm smiling. For anyone watching, they can see I'm smiling. And just like to reiterate, as always, not smiling because we're laughing. I'm smiling because I know what Chris has been going through. And I was very lucky enough when I was in my early 20s. So I had a mortgage, and then I got the opportunity to travel. And it sounds really flippant, I've never regretted doing it. But from the age of 16, you know, I lived on my own. I had to have a job to have a roof over my head. So to get the opportunity to sell my house and go traveling was amazing. So I was only 22 and I went to Portugal. Now, I did go with friends, but then I left them and I was on my own. So that's when I very first went traveling on my own. And it's, when I say traveling, being able to create a space for ourselves, mm-hmm. is really important, but it's scary. And sometimes we're unable to do it. And I knew you were nervous, but also, when I said to you, like in a message, I understand you're nervous, but when you're on the plane, it changes and get to the airport. And it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And also, when we go back to when we're recognising in the last year, what it did for me, and I don't know if it has for you, when you go somewhere on your own, you know, even if it's a cinema, I go on my own lots of different places now. What it helped me to reinforce subconsciously is, oh, I can trust myself. I can be there for myself. And when I'm feeling nervous, actually, I've got the skills in me to give myself that reassurance. Okay, I am scared. I hear that I'm scared. Okay, what are you scared of? I'm on my own. Okay, so what's the next step I need to take? What do I need to do? I need to go and check in, I need to ask for a table. Well, you're not scared when you've got three other people with you, so let's do it for yourself. So that's really, thank you, Chris, for sharing that, because that's really important. And anybody who's listening, who feels like they haven't got any space themselves, this is where, you know, think about, can you take a half an hour? Go and sit in the car, go for a walk, or if you've got longer, drive to the beach. You know, even in the winter, I do that. I walk to the beach now, luckily, but that's something I wanted to bring in my life. So it's important that we don't overwhelm ourselves, but we find a way to create that space. Because when we create that space for ourselves and we can look at ourselves, that's when we're looking at our feelings and we get scared of that. But actually, they're always there below the surface, as we know. So when we get them out, we then make space for us to say, what do you do? What do you want? And if you don't know all the answers, okay, as we said, just write down 10 things that you want without thinking about it. So I'm going to say one of the things I want to do, and it's something I've imagined this in my brain for a long time, having a canvas and painting, and I'm not a painter. And there's this thing on Facebook that keeps coming up, and you can go and do these painting sessions now. It's just a one-off if you want to. They've got all the stuff there, and you go, and I've seen a design I like, and I've got to book it this week, and I'm going to do that at the end of February. So it's two things already that I'm putting in place. One is to study and the other one is to paint.
And for me, mine is to carve out some more quality time and feel worthy that I can have that time without having to work. Because that's my coping mechanism. So that's really hard for me to do. One thing I wanted to pick up on, Bev, is that obviously we've got families, and so we're always connected. So our thing that we often want to do is to be on our own. Whereas I know quite a few survivors are on their own and they do everything by themselves and they feel quite lonely. Not all the time, but at some stages, and they need to find that connection. So we're trying to get away from the connection sometimes, and other people want a connection. So, you know, look at different clubs like painting club, a knitting club, a social walking circle, all of these different activities that are going on in your local community often are free. Just look around, try something, see if you like it or not, and then move on to the next thing or stick with it. So we are just sort of like trying to encourage you, really, is to look at what is going on for you, what do you need more of, and do more of it.
Absolutely. And that's a very valid point that you said there, Chris, and thank you. So being able to internalize how we feel is really important, because coming back to, are we worthy? And that is really important. Absolutely. Each and every one of us are worthy. So it's finding the evidence. So finding that evidence, look back and look at everything that you've achieved in this last year, you know, and celebrate the smallest of achievements as well, because they are achievements. It's okay to acknowledge the sad things that have happened as well. We don't want to get stuck into all those sad things, no matter how difficult they are and challenging, because we still want to recognize the good things and then think about what we'd like to bring in for the next 12 months of our life. And there's one thing I'm going to say. You gave us a sentence and a description, and I am putting you on the spot a little bit here, Chris. When we have a sentence and a description, that is great, but at times we can become overwhelmed. And I found a little trick that worked for me years ago is I would try and find one word that I would use. So, for instance, years ago when I was looking to be more mindful of my emotions, because I'd be like a helter-skelter, I'd be up really high or really low, the word I would use was balance. So when I was feeling a little bit out of sorts, I'd remember that word, balance. Okay, how can I balance? My word for the next year now is learning. Okay, so if I start to get overwhelmed with the study, etc., that I'll be doing, it's okay, I'm learning. I'm learning about me. I'm learning about this. So is there a word that you could think of, and I have put you on the spot, that when you're thinking about yourself in the next year and you're finding you're becoming overwhelmed, what word would bring you back to looking at yourself and what you need?
I was going to use the word balance before you brought it up in this conversation, so I'm not going to use that. Letting go.
Letting go. Lovely.
So any conversation that I might have on social media where I feel like I need to explain myself or whatever, or give a comment on, I'm just going to go, let it go. You've got all these other things that you want to commit to. You want to make changes. That's where your energy is going. So if there's stuff going on over here that, yeah, I might be interested in and I might have an opinion about, just let it go. It ain't actually taking me anywhere. It's just feeding other people. So let it go.
That's lovely. Thank you, Chris. And I did put you on the spot. Our 30 minutes has come up really quickly again, as it always does. I'd like to dive into the screen now and join you in the Maldives.
Yes, please.
But I'm lapping it up anyway, and it's a real good, real feel-good video. So if anyone's listening to this and it's a podcast that they're listening on and they're feeling a bit grey and maybe the weather's a bit grey, hop over to YouTube, and this is episode 30, okay? And you'll find it on YouTube.
And we would also like to know our listeners' word for 2023, wouldn't we? Put it in the comments.
Would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. So whenever you're listening to this, it could be in May, it could be in July, it could be in September. What's your word for the next year? So please let us know. Yeah, well, fabulous. I'm going to say goodbye because, Chris, where are you off to now?
I'm going out into the sea, hopefully to see some dolphins.
Oh, well, enjoy the space and look forward to speaking to you another time.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening as always.
Bye-bye.